It's your mobile podcaster living in his car with the news according to me. Yes, once again, I'm broadcasting from the car. The car. Again. You thought this was some kind of joke. No, it is a joke. Stop thinking it's a joke and know that it's a joke. Yes, I am. I'm once again in my car. And I'm sipping on sweet tea. And I'm about to head home, actually. I had to check out of my hotel. I had an interesting experience yesterday. I went to a hotel that I always go to, location undisclosed, in an undisclosed location. I'm going to keep the location unknown just for the sake of security reasons. It's a highly security issue. So I went to the hotel I always go to. Kind of got in kind of late last night. And I had to spend the night here in this undisclosed location. And I get to the hotel, and it's they practically know me there. They give me a special rate. Let's put it that way. And my card is on file there. I can just walk in and tell them my name and say I want a room, and I'm done. They throw keys at me, send me on my way, and say, get out of here. Tired of seeing you. No, that is not at all the way they treat me. Last night I got in there. This is not a huge hotel. It's not huge. It's a smaller, well-known brand. I don't know. It's just a moderate brand name hotel. Nothing fancy. Let's just say not a $400 a night hotel. And that will be a part of the discussion later. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But this story leads into that. So I get to this hotel, and I say, hey, I was here the other night, because I was just here two nights ago. I said, it looks like I'm going to be back tonight, and I'm just wondering if I can get a room for the night. Well, apparently, I can't. Because apparently, they didn't have any cleaning staff. He said, well, we're sorry. We had, I don't have any rooms. He was really sorry to say it. You could just tell it just pained him to say it. He said, we had 53 people check out today. 53 checkouts today. He said, but we didn't have any cleaning staff. So we actually have no rooms available. Now, it behooves me to understand this. And the only way this happens, you have to understand, the only way this happens is because they can't get enough helpers. Because apparently there's not enough people out there looking for work. Now, this, to think about that. All these people out of work, we're sending out, you know, billions of dollars, not trillions, because only billions went to people who were out of work. So this is what happens. When we do this, and we're sending out all this money to people who don't necessarily need it. We're basing it on what they made in 2019. There are people who made a lot more money last year because of the nature of their business. And there are people who did a lot better in 2019 who were devastated in 2020. Not because they made poor business decisions, because the government told them to shut their business down. It's a very different issue. The government wants to be the hero and throw money at people. thinking that they're the ones who are going to bail us out. They're going to save the day. And it never works out that way. They always mess it up more. Here's something interesting that happened a while back. There was a huge tornado, actually a couple of tornadoes, went through an area near where I live. Close to the area where I live, there is a really very large, what I would call conservative community. I'm not talking about politically conservative, which they, for the most part, are. But they're a lot of conservative Mennonite and Amish individuals. It is a very, I will say, religious community. Let's just put it that way. They went through and devastated that area. This was about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know, maybe something like that. And these people, instead of waiting for the government, and there was government aid because it was actually declared a national disaster. It was bad enough. And it was bad enough that they declared this a national disaster, and there was going to be federal funding for those who needed it. Now, the way those people, I mean, some of them had their businesses leveled. They literally were bringing in equipment to just basically scoop it all up and throw it all away. And in the midst of all of that, because of the nature of these people, they all pitched in and helped each other clean up the mess and rebuild. Because that's the way communities are supposed to work. However, because they did that, the insurance companies and the federal aid people decided that they didn't need to help because they were able to recover on their own. So they didn't get any federal assistance. So if you sit around and do nothing and just have an entitled mentality, apparently that's the way you get something from this government. Or if you are somehow belittled. Don't get me wrong, there are people who need help. And there's nobody to help them. They have no family, whatever it is. Some of them have served in the military. They definitely should be taken care of if they truly need help. It's that kind of thing that really aggravates me. Now, what we've got going on right now, oh, by the way, just to finish my story about the hotel. So I walk in and he says he has no rooms because we have no cleaning staff and there's just a bunch of dirty rooms. And they had no clean rooms to offer me. So I said, well, tell me this. Was there anyone in my room last night that I was in the night before? Did that room get cleaned from my stay there on Friday night? He looked at some papers. He went around, looked through some folders, went back to his computer a couple times, went back in the back office, came back out. He said, there's really no way I can tell. He says, I really don't know. I can't verify that I know there's nobody in it, but I can't tell if anybody was in it last night for some reason. The computer wasn't giving him the information he needed. And he was trying to go through some folders. I said, well, I know exactly how I left the room. I said, if I go up there and I go in the room, if it hasn't been cleaned, I'll know if it was my mess or not. And next thing I know, he's kind of messing around some more. He makes some keys, hands me the keys, and I grab the keys with the same room number. I said, oh, thank you. I said, now I have a card on file. You can go ahead and charge it on that. He waved his hands at me and he said, this is no charge. No charge. Just gave me the room. When I got to the room, the same trash that I put in the trash bags or trash cans were still in the trash, which wasn't much. It was just a Culver's bag and, of course, some cheese curds. Not the cheese curds themselves, just the bag for the cheese curds because, you know, I wouldn't throw the cheese curds away. I'm not insane. And if someone else's cheese curds had been in the trash can, I probably would have picked them out and eaten them. because, you know, I'm not insane. so I, the only thing that was different in the room was that there were, they had taken the towels I had used and the washcloths. They missed one. I don't think they saw it. It was in the shower. And so there was still a towel there that I could still use for a shower. The soap was still where I left the soap. The shampoo and everything was exactly where I left it. The only thing was, the only, probably the bugaboo, was that the sheets were all taken off the bed. So I had to make the bed. So somebody came in, took the sheets off the bed, and took the towels. But they did not clean the room. So I proceeded to make the bed, slept there like a baby, I might add. Woke up every 3 hours crying for some milk. And ended up waking up this morning, about 6 or 7 o'clock this morning. Feeling good, feeling fine, feeling happy all the time. And I had some hard-boiled eggs, some cheese, sweet tea. Did the show from the hotel. And it was all free. I'll just have you know, it was all free. Now, that was actually free. The company that could have charged me for that room, I would have paid for it. Because at that hour of the night, I wasn't in the mood to go around from hotel to hotel and try to find the best rate. And I hate calling them, because whenever you call a hotel, so many times you call the hotel and it goes straight to their reservations office, which is someplace in Alaska. Well, I'm not in Alaska. I'm here. Alaska's about, just to give you an idea, Alaska's about 2,500 miles away from where I am, I think, something like that. I don't know, maybe as the crow flies. I don't think a crow can fly that far, but I think that's it's just in a straight line, pretty sure. So I was a little bit, taken back by the fact that they didn't charge me for the room. I didn't have to go looking for a room. I tell you what, they have my business for the rest of my days here. If I ever come here again, they definitely have my business. And I will be forever grateful for what they did last night. That was above and beyond, in my opinion. And it just kind of shows the nature of that particular individual, for one thing, but also the nature of the kind of people they hire. I have always been treated well by the people there. They've always done a good job with that. And I don't know how they can't keep cleaning staff. Other than, I do know that because of all the stimulus funds that have gone out, there are people quitting their jobs because of the stimulus money that they're getting. Or they're not returning to work because they're on unemployment and they're able to finagle out the ability to stay on unemployment with the extra bonus of whatever it is, $200 on top of their unemployment, which sometimes, many times, is more than they make at work. So we're paying people to not work, giving them incentives and bonuses for not working. Stop and think about that for a minute. That's kind of crazy. Craziness. Crazy talk. So I'm sitting here in a parking lot at a big box store, recording this show. And let me just say, it's kind of noisy outside. There's a lot of cars. Apparently a lot of cars nowadays do not have mufflers anymore. I guess that's a thing of the past. I guess nowadays having a muffler is optional on a car. Now, there's a couple of Teslas running around here, because there's a Tesla charging station not too far from where I am here, that they're not noisy at all. In fact, there you might hear one right now. That's not a Tesla, though. That's a Mini Cooper. It's making a lot of noise for a mini car, for a small car. Okay, so let's talk about this hotel situation a little bit. Now, the government, as I understand it, down around the border town, has decided that they're going to spend a bunch of money I can't remember how much it is. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars, I think. And I believe they're going to put up, I think, 12,000 families in hotels. Now, if you do the math on how much they're actually paying out to these hotel contracts that they have procured, if you do the math, and this is according to their numbers, I'm just going by their numbers. Now, they didn't break it down like this because they never do. But when you start to break things down and look at the actual amount that is being paid out, just for the hotels. Now, I guarantee you these people are also probably getting debit cards for food and, you know, other essential items, toiletries, for example, things like that. I would almost guarantee you this is going to happen. They are securing contracts with local hotels for 1,200 families. Now, if you take the amount that they have, or that they're putting out and paying these hotels, and you take the number of families, I think it's 1,200 or 12,000, whatever, I think it's 12,000. 12,000, I don't know what it is. 12-something. And you divide that all up, it's $70,000 per family. Now, keep in mind, some of these families are, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 people. Some of these families are one or two people. I don't know what the average is. I'm assuming it's around 3. So they're going to put these families, supposedly families, I don't know who's doing the DNA tests on these people, in these hotels for 6 months. If you do the math, it works out to almost $400 a night. That's how much money is being spent for these families. $400 a night for 6 months. Now, I've been in some pretty nice hotels in my life. I've been in some hotels that were, you know, close to $400 a night. I also know that some $400 a night hotels will reduce their rates extremely for things like, you know, certain businesses who travel a lot, like airline crew, for truck drivers, those kinds of things. So if you just belong to the club, if you belong to their club, or, you know, their little whatever it is, you know, the Marriott Club or whatever it is. There's an airplane. It's making a whole lot of noise. That guy needs a muffler on his plane. Why don't put mufflers on those things? And so you can be, you know, the Envoy Club or whatever it is. The points rewards. I wonder who's getting the points and rewards. The people who are checking at the hotels probably get the points and rewards, probably. I would imagine. And some hotels even provide you with breakfast. And they'll charge you, you know, less than $100. Less than $100. There are hotels out there that charge a normal $300 a night for a room. As a flight crew, back in the day, there was one in Chicago that was $390 a night for a normal, that was their normal rate for a normal room near the airport. I could get that same room as a crew member on my own, paying from my own, out of my own pocket. I could get that same room for $35 a night. Yeah. Little difference there. That's 10% of the cost, 90% discount, basically. A little bit more. Well, plus taxes and stuff, it was about $40. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that the government couldn't come in and negotiate a better deal on that one. I guarantee you, I know an individual who owns hotels, who used to be president, who would have come up with a better deal than that. But again, we are paying off people, making them rich, throwing money at a situation that is already a disaster. The Federal Emergency Management Act or association, whatever they are, FEMA, National Disaster Association, is now taking charge. I guess they're helping out down at the border because it's a disaster. They're making a big deal out of that right now. When you break this down and look at the numbers here, now this is just for the hotels themselves, $400 a night. Whose idea was this? I don't need to know. I know. You know. Now this is the kind of stuff, and it's people are starting to ask these questions. Finally, they're saying, "Who is really in charge here? Who's the boss? Who's getting up in the morning? Who is large and in charge and just making these decisions?" I guarantee you, the Obama clan is in the mix in some way. I don't know how big they are. Now, when I talk about the Obama clan, I'm not talking about Barack himself, because he doesn't basically have a clue what's going on either. He's good at speaking. It's the people around him, the people, the Valerie Jarretts, the people who are other organizations and little administrative people around that whole bunch of people that they have in there, who are mostly communists and come from very heavily, socialist mentalities, philosophies and ideologies. They are not, most of them are not Judeo-Christian. Not that they have to be, but most of them are not. I'm just pointing out the facts. And it's amazing to me that this kind of thing is going on while Joe is tripping around on steps and everything else, all the other things that are going on. They want anything else to be in the news besides that right now, besides the whole border issue. Now they'll spin it. They try to spin it any way they want to. People have, Circleback Psaki will say, well, it's just a challenge. It's not a crisis. You know, you keep wanting to define it your way. We've called in FEMA now because it's a man-made disaster down there. But we're not going to call it a disaster yet. We're not ready to call it a disaster. We're just going to call it it's a problem. We're going to start flying these people around the country to different facilities to check them in, to get them processed. We're going to start putting them up in hotels because they're living with on the floor with cushions, with space blankets, wrapped up in, you got little plastic shields between the places where they sleep, little plastic curtains. It's estimated that about 50% of them have, up to 50% of them could potentially have COVID, of the adults. At least 10% do. They know that over 10%. That have been released, that we know of, have COVID. Many more may have. Many of them are coming across the border and not getting caught. Let's talk about that. The numbers that we have in the detention facilities they think that that's just a fraction of the numbers that are coming across. The estimate that came across in February is way beyond what we have in detention facilities and way beyond what we have processed. So it's not going to end. And my understanding is there's more caravans coming, and they're not even talking about that because the border right now is so bad that that's a big enough issue. But the issue is that this has encouraged more caravans. And there are more coming, and you will hear about it in the future. Now, the reason, the thing that has sparked all of this is they're being told that there will be amnesty. They are certainly not being discouraged from being here. Don't send your children, but if you do, we'll take care of them. Well, then why not send my children? That's the whole reason I would have, if you would have said, if you send your children, we're going to send them back. Well, then I wouldn't send my children. I wouldn't anyway. But that's, at least I don't think I would. I don't know. Now, other people's kids, I probably would. be happy to send some of them. I'm just kidding. Don't worry, your children are safe with me. Well, maybe. I don't know. I can make mac and cheese and pizza, frozen pizza. And hot dogs. I can do hot dogs. I can do those. I can grill some stuff. But I digress. This is where we're at with this whole situation. And I personally, I think it's absolutely insane. I want to pull up, I think I lost it there for, yeah, I lost that information, I guess, looks like. So we're not hearing about much of anything else right now. Now there is some other big news. There's some big named economists who have now, they're also talking about the formula that we have put together in this economic plan that is currently a part of this administration and what's happening with it. They're now saying that this is an extremely dangerous situation we are in economically. The economy was set to rebound if they wouldn't have messed with anything. And in fact, at the end of the Trump administration, things were recovering very well, surprisingly well, even without the stimulus money. And I'm not a big stimulus believer. I do not believe that government can, just like I said earlier, they think that they can come in and rescue everyone and that they have to spend money and this bill has to come through so that everybody gets their check. And yeah, there are people out there who want to get their government check, and they were promised $2,000, and now then they were all upset because they didn't get their $2,000, and they make a big deal out of that. I know an awful lot of people, frankly, who would just as soon not get that check. They just want to open back up and make their money and do their business and go about their life as normal and get back to work. But if you're going to be giving out money, then give it to everybody. They're going to pick and choose again who gets one and who doesn't. There's actually a movement that was talking about people sending their money back, sending their checks back to the government. I don't think that's a good idea. I struggle with that because that's one of those things where it does say something if they got a whole bunch of checks back. However, it doesn't matter. You might as well, you're going to pay taxes on the money that they're giving you anyway. So it's one of those things where I didn't know that Chevy made a little diesel like that. It was a little diesel car. Huh. I had no idea. So, squirrel. The whole thing about getting the stimulus checks, if I were you, I would just, take it, invest it, do whatever you need to do with it. If you don't need it, be upset and cash it and keep it. Do whatever you need to do with it. Give it to somebody you know. Here's the thing to do with it. Rather than giving it back to the government, give it to someone you know who needs it. That would be a bigger thing to do than sending it back to the criminals. That's what I would say. Now, speaking of the criminals, that's a good segue into what the criminals are doing right now. The criminals that are in their cage. I guess they're going to take their cage down now. I have not heard how long this is going to take. My understanding is it's going to be by the end of April that the fence will be taken down and the troops will be greatly reduced, which is good because it's just ridiculous. They got these guys running around there. Of course, the situation is bad for them. They just aren't ready to house that many people there and feed that many people. They do this kind of stuff without thinking about it. It's just a knee-jerk thing, and the logistics on it are just terrible. It was all for show. And this brings me to another topic, but it's kind of a left turn here. But I want to talk about this obvious individual who is going to be taking over Joe's spot, who or maybe already has kind of taken over most of his responsibilities. An individual who is not a communicator at all. I want to talk about this because it's alarming to me how bad Carmela is at giving a speech. I have never seen someone with the lack of communication skills. I mean, this woman needs to go to a Toastmasters club for a couple of years before they let her in any kind of speaking arrangement again. And I'm not saying she can't read. I'm sure that, you know, the press is going to fawn over everything she says. I'm sure of that. They will continue to do that. Because they know she's going to be the next president. And she's going to be a female. And she's a woman of color. Not only an Asian, but also half black, half Asian, Eastern Asian, whatever. Western Asian, I don't know what some kind of, so, you know, she's a woman of color. And she will be the first one, and the Democrats can say it was her. They were theirs. It's their little trophy. Their little trophy token woman. Not because she earned it or deserves it or has any kind of abilities or that the people really wanted her. Even in her own primary in the Democrat Party, she couldn't even get 1% of the vote in the primaries. She dropped out. Part of that's because of her, I think that just people just, she just has a, people just don't like her. Of course, the news media will fawn all over her and make her sound like she's the queen and she's just this wonderful individual. When she steps up to the microphone and starts to speak, my skin just wants to peel off my body. It's like somebody rubbing their fingers on their fingernails on a chalkboard, and I can even do that. I can go up and scratch my fingernails across a chalkboard, and it doesn't bother me at all. Someone else can do it, and it doesn't bother me at all. But when I hear her talk, that's the reaction my body has. It just sends shivers down my spine listening to her talk, because, and not the good kind. She is incredibly bad at communication. Have I made my point clear? Really bad. First of all, she talks through her nose all the time. She talks through her nose. She likes to say words with P's, and she picks her P's on P's of Peter Piper picked him. I mean, not only does she do that, but when she's reading the teleprompter, you can tell she's reading. Now, I have to hand it to Barack Obama. He was not good at anything if he was off his teleprompter. However, when he was on the teleprompter, he knew what he was saying. I mean, he didn't know what he was saying. He was able to speak in a way that didn't sound like he was on the teleprompter. He would get off teleprompter and he would start stuttering. He couldn't control a thought. He couldn't speak very well. He couldn't communicate very well. But when he was on teleprompter, he at least had a good presentation. Now, there's an individual. I got to hand it. Now, this is, of course, I'm a Ronald Reagan fan to some degree. I voted for him twice. And he had an ability in the spur of a moment, on his toes, to speak little one-liners that just cut right to the issue. At one point, there were a bunch of protesters outside the White House. And these protesters came in, and he invited them in to the Oval Office. Well, I'm going to talk to you and talk to you about what your issues are. They went on and on and on about how your generation didn't invent any. Your generation doesn't know how to do anything with technology, doesn't know how to do anything with all the new technique. You know, guys, you're so far behind. You just want things from the past. You don't know how to do any of this. You don't know how to do that. You know, you don't know how to operate a cell phone. Those kinds of things. And he said, Well, that's right. Our generation didn't have those things. We were very busy inventing them for you. They were the generation that invented them. That's the kind of thing that he didn't need a teleprompter for that. He just was able to communicate those kinds of things and say those kinds of things. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great week. Rest of your week. I'm Kevin, and this is the News According to Me. Go ahead and text in 574-742-7748. Have a great day. See you later.